We are starting a new series called Good Dirt. It occurred to me this morning as I walked in and saw this wonderful sign that Kelly and Katrina made that you might look at that and think, oh, like it's about gossip. What's the good dirt? That's not what this is about. This is about how you and I can be good dirt, the kind of soil that God's kingdom grows in. And so today, we're going to start this series by reading a parable that most of you know really, really well. It comes from Luke chapter 8. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the key parts for us so we make sure we see what Jesus is doing and saying here. This is how he starts. You can follow in our app if you've got our app on your phone and take notes there as well. But Luke chapter 8, verse 1 says, "After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. And some fell on the rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered, because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And then a little bit later, his disciples said, well, what's the meaning of all this? And he explained. He said, this is the meaning of the parable. He said, the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." Lord Jesus, I pray you would help us this morning to listen carefully to what it is you're saying to us. To hear the warnings, to see the opportunities, to hear your invitation that is so gracious and such a blessing to us. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you, I'm just curious, have heard more than 5 sermons on this passage in your life? I'm sure it's a bunch, more than 15, more than 20. I have no idea how many sermons I've heard on this. I preached this, some of you will remember, Lydia might remember. Because at the time, she was helping clean the church. I preached this back in the old building 20 years ago. And I remember because I made pots that were, you know, about that tall and that wide. And I did one with soil with a bunch of rocks in it. Anybody remember this? And one with soil and a bunch of thorns. And one with good dirt. And then one I filled with concrete, not really realizing how heavy that was going to be. And so as I got to each one, I dumped it over. And when it came to the concrete one, I picked it up and dropped it on the platform, and I cracked the platform over there. So I'm not going to do that today, although this is mostly concrete back here. But I've heard so many sermons, and the one that really shapes me and stands out to me is one I heard Tim Keller preach from 30 years ago. And honestly, it shapes the way I think about this passage. And honestly, a lot of what I say to you today, I got to give credit where it's due, comes from what he said in that sermon because it just so marked me because I realized I had never really understood and listened to this parable, which is so ironic because it's a parable about listening and about how you and I hear. That's what this parable's about. It's a warning from Jesus to the people following him from town to town. Because Jesus was never content to just have someone say, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you. And he'd be like, oh, cool, come on. No, he would challenge and say, are you really following me? Do you really want to follow me? I have no place to put my head down. You're going to have to sell everything and follow me. He would constantly challenge and put up obstacles to make sure. And in this case, he's saying to the people who are following him from town to town, he's saying, are you really listening to me? Do you really hear me? And so this parable is a warning to them and to us, because the way you and I listen to Jesus' message will determine the way we live. It'll determine whether or not God's kingdom enters our hearts and it will determine whether or not we enter God's kingdom. So let's dive into this story, and let's just try and understand what it is Jesus is saying. And let's start with the sower. Who's the sower? It's Jesus, right? Jesus is the one who's going around sowing seed. And who's the soil? Who's the dirt? We're the dirt. Hopefully, we're the good dirt. We're the dirt. And I think the first thing you and I need to understand as we come to this parable, don't worry about the dirt just yet. Focus first on the sower and what's in his hands. What is it that's in Jesus' hands as he walks the earth from town to town like a farmer walking the field, scattering what? What's in his hands? Have you ever watched, I know you have, a car commercial, but have you ever paid attention to a car commercial or a beer commercial and asked yourself, well, what's really actually in their hands? Because when we watch them, what they want us to see, oh, the happiness, and look how handsome you could be if you owned this car, and look at all the attractive friends you could have and the perfect body you could have if you drank this beer somehow. Like, that's what they want you to see, the things it's promising. They're not inviting you to actually pay attention to the things that are in their hands. So it's like, look at the freedom you could have. Look at the happiness you could have, when what's actually in their hands is a hunk of metal with flammable liquid inside or fermented grain and water. That's what's actually in their hands. And I bring that up because that impacts the way you and I approach Jesus oftentimes. We look past what Jesus is actually holding in his hands, what he's actually offering us, because we're more interested in getting the benefits of what he's offering us, getting the blessings, the happiness, the good friends, and all that stuff. And so what is it that's in Jesus' hands? I think there are two clues that we find in this passage, two clues about what's in Jesus' hands. The first one comes in verse 1. Stay with me. Verse 1, Jesus says, it traveled around from town to town and village to village, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. First clue, Jesus is holding a kingdom in his hands. A kingdom, which means God's power, where God's word is obeyed and followed. Jesus is walking around carrying a new kingdom that's here to take over everything, and he's saying you can get into it, and it can get into you. And this is so much more than what we often focus on with Jesus. It's so much more than just personal forgiveness for you and me. It's so much more than a promise that, oh, everything's going to work out for you and it's going to be okay in the end. Jesus is saying that there's a new kingdom, a new administration that's coming and breaking into this world that's here to transform not just the things going on in you, but everything. He's here to transform the entire world. Everything that's broken will be made new. All the injustices, whether they are racial injustices, social injustices, economic, political, violent injustices, all of that will be reconciled and healed. All of the brokennesses of our world, all the economic brokennesses, the psychological brokennesses, the emotional brokennesses, all of that will be healed. All of the random tragedies that happen, all of the negligent tragedies that happen, all the freak storms and the freak heat waves, all of these, all the brokenness, all the disorder of this world is going to be resolved and brought to a, restored to beauty and to order. That's what Jesus is holding in his hands. So much more than just personal forgiveness and everything's okay for you and me, but a kingdom that's going to change everything. Jesus has a kingdom in his hands. And that means submission to that kingdom or rejection of it. And the second clue comes in verse 11, where Jesus says the seed, he explains to the disciples, the seed is the word of God. But he's not talking about the Bible. The Bible didn't exist at this moment when Jesus said this. So what does Jesus mean when he says the seed is the word of God? And if you've read scripture, if you remember Genesis, let your mind rewind to in the beginning, when God was creating and bringing order to all things, he spoke. And by speaking, he brought what was chaos into beauty and order. He turned it into beauty and order. By speaking, that creative word that brings about a new order, a new creation. And John 1 tells us who that word is, because it's not just a mystical word. That word is a character, is a person. And John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. This word, in other words, is a person. It's Jesus himself. He is this creative word that brings about order where there's chaos and disorder, that brings about beauty where there's brokenness. And then look what the word does next in John chapter 1. The word becomes flesh like you and me and lives among us, and we get to see his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus comes bringing a kingdom, but he also comes bringing this creative order, this word, like a seed planted into the earth so God's kingdom can grow and bring about new creation, new order, new kingdom. That's what's in Jesus' hands, a new creation order, a new kingdom for us. So much more than just, oh, he'll make everything better one day. It's a call to enter this kingdom, this new creation order, and it's a call to have it enter you. But that's the big question of this whole parable. How does this kingdom, this new creation, enter me? And how do you and me, how do we enter this kingdom, this new creation? And that's what the rest of this parable is going to be about. And the answer is surprising, honestly. The answer to how this kingdom enters us and enters this world is surprising. Because think about history from high school or college, wherever you last read about or watched history. Maybe the History Channel. They do some history there. Think about how emperors and empires form and how they become empires. Think about how conquerors conquer, how Rome worked. How did Rome sweep in and take over the whole Mediterranean seaboard, essentially? They came in like a giant boulder and steamrolled everything and everyone who tried to get in their way, destroying those who would not relent and be willing to be subjugated. That's how they did it. That's how every empire has done it. That's how Alexander the Great did it. That's how Rome then overcame him. That's how Attila the Hun overcame Rome. Every empire has arrived and on the scene with force and with aggression and violence and noise. And you knew when you were part of a new empire. You wake up and you look outside and look, oh, there's Roman soldiers all in our streets, in our town. Okay, I guess they killed all of our soldiers. I guess we're Romans now. I guess we belong to them. And you knew you were part of this new kingdom because there was new language, there was new currency, there was now new temples being built to worship the Caesar, the new emperor. You knew for sure when you woke up, okay, everything's changed, I'm part of a new kingdom. Even here, even in our country today where the kingdom, the administration changes every 4 or 8 years, it doesn't happen quietly, right? It happens with tons of noise. It happens with all kinds of yelling and shouting and arguing that begins way sooner than it needs to begin, as the election cycle seems to be 4 years constant all the time now. You know, you've all been through it, how it works. It's constantly full of noise as everyone shouts and says, make us be in charge, let us be in charge, look at me, look at me, look at me. It comes with all this force, and every 4 or 8 years, we all go and vote, and then you wake up the next day, or maybe a couple weeks later, and regardless of who you voted for, doesn't matter if you didn't vote for the one in charge now, you're part of that administration now. And it's obvious, it's everything's different. Every administration tries to put their stamp on everything that's going on. But what does Jesus' parable say about the kingdom of God and how it enters the world? How does it come? It comes like a seed. Now this morning as you guys were walking in, I had the ushers and greeters try to sneakily do something, and I hope nobody noticed it. I gave them all grass seed, and I said, as people go by, I just want you to, like, drop it in their hair. Just as they go by, just try to, I hope nobody saw it happen. And if you were bald like me, they dropped it on your shoulder. So that everyone now should have a grass seed, and I see some of you checking. Because the truth is, that may be true, and it may not be true. But you know, either way, it could be true. They could have dropped grass seed. They could have dropped like 10 grass seeds in your hair and you wouldn't know it, because seed doesn't make a big impact when it hits. Seed hits gently. imperceptibly even. And all the other kingdoms of this world, all the other administrations, all human authority, whether it's a government or a CEO, they come in loud and make big statements and make sure everybody knows that, you know, everything's new and now you're following me. But Jesus says that God's kingdom, this new world order, it hits like a seed and then looks for places to grow where people will be listening. And because of that, it's easy to overlook and it's also easy to reject. And that's why a lot of people, a lot of Christians, even have trouble with God's kingdom and this way. Because it's frustrating. Like, wouldn't it be awesome if God could just levitate the whole United States for just a minute or two? Just to say, hey guys, look, you're all under my power. Like, wouldn't that just prove it to everybody? If God just took his finger and like wrote across the whole country, you know, I'm God, you're not. Like, then everybody would know for sure. Like, we want that. Whether we're kids, this is a teenage conversation all the time. Why doesn't God just do this or just do that? Then everybody would believe. It doesn't work. And sometimes Christians have tried to help God out by imposing his power and authority on others, by trying to bring his kingdom by using force and power on other people so that everybody just let it be clear that you really belong to God and he's the one in charge. And sometimes Christians have made that mistake throughout history. Oftentimes we have. But that's not, according to Jesus, the way God's kingdom comes and enters this world or enters our hearts. Why not? Why not? Why doesn't God just barge in? And just, he's God. It's because God's looking not for subjects. He's looking for sons and daughters. It says that the word Jesus became flesh and lived among us. You know what else it says next in that passage from John? It says, and all who received him, like good dirt receiving the seed, all who received him and believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children not born because natural descent. They didn't inherit being part of his family. You don't inherit it. And not by some human person's decision or a husband's will, not by force, by the will of God, born of God. He came to make us sons and daughters who respond to him out of love, not fear, not obligation, to form a bond with him that's eternal. And that's not something that you can force. You don't do that from the outside in by dropping bombs. He does it from the inside out, coming in like a seed and transforming the heart. And so the kingdom of God enters this world and enters your heart like a seed. So if you're not listening carefully, you'll miss it. And if you're not hearing the right way, you'll overlook it. You'll overlook what Jesus is actually offering. You'll miss what's in his hands. And that's why at the end of the parable, Jesus says, whoever's got ears to hear, let him hear. God gave you ears to hear this call. Let him hear. And then he tells his disciples, he says, consider carefully how you listen, because the way you and I listen will determine whether this kingdom actually gets into our hearts and we actually get into this kingdom. We allow these distractions, things to get in our way and distract us from hearing God's word, then we'll be left out and it'll be left out of us. But there are different ways you and I can hear. And so the next part of this parable, which is honestly, it's scary a little bit. It goes through the different ways you and I might hear. And in some of these ways, it feels like you'll have heard the gospel and you'll have even had a start to following Jesus. And it'll feel like, yeah, I've heard it. I got it. But you don't actually. And so what Jesus says here exposes our hearts and we need to hear it. We need to wrestle with it. So I want to put it out there for all of us to wrestle with, including me, and just ask God to just point at us and say, here, yep, maybe this is the way you've been listening. The first way. The first warning Jesus says, beware of listening with a hard heart. Beware of listening with your intellect only. Some of the seed, he says, fell on hard path, hard ground, and it never penetrated. It never got in. And so this is people who, they hear the gospel. Maybe they go to church. Maybe they even read the Bible all the time. But it stays on the outside. It stays an intellectual activity. It doesn't actually get inside and penetrate to the heart. When you experience the power of God, it goes beyond intellect, beyond philosophies, beyond theories and theology. It goes past the intellect. It doesn't bypass the intellect. I was talking to someone a week ago who's not a Christian, who's wrestling with it, who was under the impression that in order to really be a Christian, you have to like turn off your mind and just accept some things. I'm like, well, no, that's actually not what Christianity is about. Jesus is constantly telling people, like here, think about this. But what he's challenging here with is it's got to go past the thinking. It's got to go past this, you know, distant observing it like you're a scientific outsider observing it. And it has to sink into your heart because the gospel is designed to be like a seed to get in and then grow. And if you keep it on the outside, it'll never get in and you'll never grow. So this is the first warning and the first test to know, have I really heard the gospel? Is God's kingdom really in me? And am I really in God's kingdom? And the question to ask yourself is, have I heard God's word and had it burn in my heart? Have I heard God's word and had it light me on fire and transform me and change me to the point where I felt like my eyes were opening? Maybe it was a sermon you listened to. Maybe you were just sitting by yourself reading the Bible. But something ignited in your heart. Your eyes were opened. Your ears were opened. And you felt God's word sink roots in there. You felt God's word grab you by your collar and shake you. And you began to see life differently than you'd seen it before. You began to see that you couldn't just go on with life the way it had been before. Things had to change. Because it was no longer just, oh yeah, I acknowledge there's Jesus and yeah, okay. But now he's a passion burning in my heart. Listening with a hard heart keeps you safe from this transforming power. It allows you to keep doing what you want to do and being whoever you want to be. It holds God's kingdom out of you, but it also holds you out of God's kingdom. So beware of listening with a hard heart. But the second warning, second test is this. Beware of listening with a shallow heart. Beware of listening only with emotion. And Jesus describes the second way of hearing the gospel. He said it's like being soil that's shallow. It looks like it's dirt, but you just scratch away a little bit and it's rock. And the people he's talking to would have known what this was like because where they lived, this is very much the way a lot of the ground was. There was an inch or so of soil and then jagged, hard rock underneath. And you could look and it looks like a wonderful field, but the truth was it was all jagged rock. And so they could picture it too, being this kind of soil. And these are people who embrace the gospel and they're excited about it. And there's emotion and there's joy. And they're happy to hear the news about Jesus and what he offers and what he's extending to them. They're happy to follow Jesus and go to church and sing the songs. The seed gets in a little bit. But what happens to the seed? As soon as the sun comes up and it starts to get hot, what happens? It just quits and walks away. And that's scary because they thought God's kingdom had gotten inside of them. They thought they had gotten into God's kingdom. But what really had happened, what they really were trying to do, was get God to join their kingdom. They didn't want a king. They wanted someone who would come in and bless their kingdom and the things they thought they needed and wanted. And the truth about this group is that they always cared more about the other things in their lives than they actually cared about Jesus. The only reason they went to Jesus and wanted Jesus to plant his kingdom in their lives is because they thought it would benefit the other things in their lives that they loved so much. And so, when Jesus doesn't come through and make you get the job you wanted or make your income what you want it to be or heal that sickness you wanted healed or fix that relationship, when Jesus doesn't come through for you and fix the things that you really loved and really were worshiping, you let go of Jesus because why hang on to him if he's not going to work for you? Listening with a shallow heart means you're not letting the kingdom into your heart at all. It means you don't really want what's in Jesus' hands. You just want the promises. I want all the good stuff, but I don't want what's in you. I don't want the kingdom. I don't want the thing where I have to submit, where I have to repent. I don't want that. Just give me the stuff that comes from that. So don't listen with a hard heart, and don't listen with a shallow heart. Let me get to the third one, which is perhaps the most difficult one, because this is the one where the person, it's hard to know, is this actually a Christian? Because they grow, the seed's planted. But this way of listening, this third way, is the most frustrating way to live, and some of you might be living this way. The third warning Jesus gives is beware of listening with a divided heart. Beware of listening with a divided heart. What happens in that third soil? The seed gets in. The seed starts to grow up tall. But then the thorns grow up with it. And these other things that the person's giving their heart to, they grow up with it and they begin competing with Jesus. They're trying to hold on to Jesus, but they're also trying to hold on to these other things. This is the most frustrating way to live life. In the second group, they tried to use Jesus to bless all their stuff. In this group of people, they genuinely want to love Jesus and serve him. They're not just trying to use Jesus to fix all the other stuff in their life. They genuinely love him. They see that he's the way. They see that he offers real life, and they want him, but they don't want to let go of the other things. They want to serve Jesus and those things, and so they become entangled. And these are the people who are miserable. Jesus describes, this is the only group Jesus describes as living like they're being choked. Some of you know what that's like. You're living that frustrating existence because you want to follow Jesus and serve him, but you're hanging on to these other things and you're living this frustrated, choked life. Everybody else, they wander away. It's like, whatever, he didn't work out for me. I'm past it. Or, yeah, I knew about Jesus, but, you know, it was just intellectual. So they walk away easily. This group, you can't walk away because you know that he's the way. You've tasted it. You've seen it. You can't walk away, but you're resisting actually. You're resisting letting go of the entanglement. And so the kingdom's pardoned, but not. And so it says you never become mature. And we know this is true. I know that this is the way I've heard the gospel. And it's keeping the kingdom from really getting in my heart and me from getting in the kingdom. I know this is how I'm hearing it when I look at my life and I don't see me growing year over year. I don't see me transforming and changing and becoming new in radical ways that are surprising to me. I don't see me having an impact on other people in ways that are eternally significant. I don't see that transformation because I'm not maturing, I'm not growing, and so I'm constantly wrestling with the same things because I'm living this choked life trying to worship and serve Jesus and worship and serve these other things, and so you're stuck. Listening with a divided heart is the most agonizing way to live. So don't listen with a hard heart. Let the gospel in and let it impact you on a personal level, or you haven't heard the gospel. And don't listen with a shallow heart because you're not just a person who needs Jesus to help you with your stuff. You and I are sinners in need of a Savior to radically transform us. And don't, most of all, don't listen with a divided heart. Let go of the old stuff, the old kingdom, the disordered life. Let go of that stuff and get beyond the mere mind and the emotions and all that stuff to the place where God's word sinks deep inside of you. And you choose him and only him. And now you begin to transform from the heart out. And then you get to this fourth soil, which I know, you know, everyone's like, okay, how do I become this fourth soil where I'm good dirt? And like, it grows up, but it doesn't just grow up. It's like 100 times the amount of seeds that were dropped. That's how much fruit grows out of my life. How do I get there to that place? Because sitting here, you and I both know that there are parts in our lives that are hard. There are parts where our hearts are hard. There are parts of our lives that are shallow. And there are parts of our lives that are thorny. And you might sit here saying, well, how do I fix that? How do I get all that stuff out so I can be good dirt, so I can receive the seed? And to that, let me just ask you this question. If you've ever gardened or watched a farmer, who goes up and down the field or through the garden and removing the rocks? Who goes pulling the weeds and the thorns? Who goes and breaks up the hard ground until it's soft and ready to receive the seed? Who does that work? The gardener does that work. Not the seed, not the dirt. And some of you, you're frustrated because you've been trying to pull all these things out and deal with all those things to make yourself ready, and you and I can't do that. We need Jesus to do that. And Jesus gladly longs to do that for you and me. Because Jesus looks at us and he says, look, I was the one who had thorns thrust into my head for you. I was the one who was buried in a rock for you, in a hard place for you. I went through that so that I could be this gardener in your life and bring this kingdom in your life. And I know it will hurt, and I know it'll feel like there are giant voids, but let me pull those rocks out. I'll fill them with something so much better. I know the thorns are tangled in there. Let me remove them. I know it won't feel comfortable, but let me do it, and look at what will happen in your life, the growth. I know there are hard places. There are grudges you're holding on to. There's unforgiveness you're holding on to. There's bitterness. There's all that stuff. Let me rake it. I know that won't feel good. I died, though, to make it possible. You don't have to forever be this rocky, hard, thorny soil. Jesus just longs for you and I to walk up and say, here. And then he transforms us and makes us ready for that seed that he plants and he waters and he grows. And you and I, just picture it. Just think about this life he's calling you to. Allow this seed into your heart. And then this life that now produces 100-fold just from what that one seed, even more than what he gives you, your life is going to produce more. Worship team, would you come back? All the soil needs to do is cooperate. It just needs to cooperate. Don't keep grabbing rocks to fill those voids as he makes them, gets them out. Let him fill it with what he wants to fill it with, good dirt. Don't seek out more entanglements for your heart. Only grab hold of him. His work will be painful sometimes, but it will always be fruitful. His work will often be slow, but sometimes the growth that will happen will shock you. You'll go through a situation and you'll be managing it completely differently than you would have a year before, and you'll stop and you realize, wow, I'm responding to this differently. And it's because you've chosen to listen to Jesus with a welcoming heart, a receiving heart, not a hard heart, not a shallow heart, and not a divided heart. Would you stand with me? We want to listen to Jesus with a receptive heart. And that means acknowledging what's in his hands is a kingdom. It's a new creation order. It's not just blessing, blessing, blessing. It's a new kingdom. And that means there's a king to bow to surrender to. There's a work he wants to do that we have to surrender to. Let him examine your life today. Don't assume, oh yeah, I'm good dirt. I've been good dirt for decades. No. We all have rocky places, hard places, thorny places. Let him put his finger on that. And as we sing the song, sing it as a prayer of surrender. Say, I just want to know you and only you.